Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Where once you had to go to a specialty store to find natural cleaning products, they're now on shelves in places from supermarkets to Target. And a Milwaukee-based company is ending up with products on an increasing number of shelves around the country.
Rebel Green launched its first product 9 years ago. It was a spray to wash fruits and vegetables. And in the time since, the company has added things ranging from dish soap to laundry detergent to toilet paper.
Allie Florsheim is the co-founder and co-owner of Rebel Green, and Christina Nosbisch is director of operations. There. They join us in the studio today. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
So where did this work begin? What was lacking out there that Rebel Green spoke to?
Well, thanks for asking. My business partner, Melina Marcus, and I started this business in 2008 because we noticed that nobody was using produce wash. She and I were one of the only ones we knew who were using a fruit and vegetable wash. And we thought, well, why aren't people using this? This is a great product. People should be washing their fruits and vegetables if they can. You know, you wash your hands before you eat, so if it's available and you can wash your fruits and vegetables, why not? One of the reasons that they weren't buying it is because the packaging just wasn't great. It wasn't compelling. It looked like a household cleaner. And so we know that if you want people to buy a product that's good for you, you're going to want the packaging to be really compelling. So we decided we were going to give it a try, and we started our first product, which was our Rebel Green Fruit and Veggie Clean.
Well, so let's take a step back, because I imagine there are people who are listening to this and they are saying, I already have fruit and vegetable wash. It's called my sink.
Mm-hmm.
What's the compelling reason to use something beyond water or your shirt tail?
Well, I think that's a great question. One of the things that, you know, farmers and growers of all kinds have to do is they have to spray their crops in order to resist rain. So the tap water in your kitchen sink is pretty much like rainwater. You're just not going to get that off unless you use a wash sometimes, or you peel things, or you take that extra effort to really scrub something to get it off. So when I would use a wash, I would do like grapes or strawberries, and I would look at the bottom of the bowl and I'd notice what was in there, and it's so gross. And the grossest thing, actually, is it gets darker during the course of the day. When we're at demonstrations for trade shows, we just notice it gets darker and darker, and that's just nasty. So we're really happy to have this product available.
So then take us to that next step. You came up with the idea. You found the right people to formulate it. How did you go from that point to actually getting it on a shelf in a store?
Well, we actually it's kind of funny the way it happened. We kind of, you know, waited, and we were a little, you know, shy and a little timid about getting into stores. We kind of had to find our feet. And we had our first buyer was a buyer at Whole Foods in Milwaukee who the product was sitting on a shelf in the sample room forever. And he got to his job and he said, you know, we really should give these guys a try. They're right here in Milwaukee. At the time, we were right down working in the Blatt's building at the time. So we were really close. And if it wasn't for him, we probably would have had a much slower start. So it really taught us the credit of having local support. You know, it just expedited the process so much faster. We're always so, we know that guy, you know, 13 years later, we're super, super grateful for him. He's a terrific person. We're lucky that he gave us a chance.
So then talk about the decision-making process when it came to scaling up and doing something besides fruit and vegetable wash. Is this the point that you come in, or where do you enter the business?
I've been with the company for actually about 8 years now, I realized the other day. And
So not long after it started?
Correct, yeah. Well, with regard to the produce wash, yeah.
Sure.
And we had a lot of buyers asking, you know, well, what else do you have? What else do you have? It was a question that kept coming up, and it seemed like the natural progression. Well, what's next? And, you know, household cleaning's a big deal. Everyone does it. And people are getting more and more concerned about what they're using and the chemicals they're bringing in their home. So it just seemed logical to move in that direction.
Is there an economies of scale kind of decision at work that you can't necessarily support an entire business on one product?
That's really true. And it also, you know, that's one of the points that are, you know, it's really important. We had a great team in place of just a couple of us, and we wanted the business to grow, but we also wanted to continue our mission, which is using packaging to take the conventional shopper into the natural space without them even really noticing that they're starting to get into the natural cleaning section. So we took that same aesthetic, which is, you know, what we started with our flagship fruit and vegetable wash, and the same quality of ingredients and the same chemistry. And we decided to, you know, branch out into household cleaners of all kinds. So laundry detergents, household cleaners like dish soaps and all-purpose cleaners, things like that.
Talk about the kind of things that keep you both up at night when it comes to running this company.
Everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, where do you actually start? You know, everything down from the logistics, because I handle a lot of that, and are the orders arriving on time and making sure you're tracking things. And, you know, you want to keep your customers happy, not just at the, you know, the shelf level, but, you know, the larger store chains themselves. You want to be a consistent brand. And, you know, even things like, are people going to like the design of this? Is it going to get their attention? You know, did we put enough like coupons out this month? I mean, and it can be even silly things, but it all plays into it. And you just want to do the best you can every day, because we have, as Ali said, created a really loyal following. And I think we have some of the best customers. I mean, we get customers calling to compliment the products, which makes us feel so good. We've gotten handwritten letters before, which I save for bad days, because you look at that and, okay, we did something awesome.
What do people say in these letters?
You know, I mean, even something like the glass spray. Like, I got a letter from a woman that said it worked great and she loved the smell and she's so happy that she had found something that she really liked. You know, we had another customer where it was her sister's birthday, she was explaining, and she was having a little difficulty trying to navigate the website. So we, you know, sent her a gift for her sister with a handwritten note, and she sent back a really lovely letter just complimenting the customer service and how passionate we were, you know, about, you know, our products in the natural cleaning field. So things like that. So you want to make sure you're always doing the best for your customers all the time to keep them happy. And it's a source of pride for us, I think.
Ali, what keeps you up at night?
Well, it's one of those things where you don't really think about it when you're a customer. How many bottles should we order this month? How many labels? What's every single word on every single label that we have for 44 different SKUs at any given time? Where is it coming from? Is the truck on time? What about the sprayers, the caps, everything? So there's all these little things that go into making something. And every single one of those things keep us up at night. And it's not just me. We have a team, a really great team, and all of us, you know, are part of this collaborative effort. But we all know exactly what's going on at any given time. It's in our head. It's not only on spreadsheets. So it's a lot to think about.
How do you learn about what goes onto a label?
You know, it was a process. And we did a lot of research before we got started. Not everything actually has to go on a label. And along with customer service, which is, you know, one of the things I think we can offer our customers, which is just really amazing. We love getting to know them, is transparency. Transparency to us is really important. And there's not a lot of requirements right now on packaging for consumer products, and really even on some foods. So we want to take that extra step. We always go the extra step in making sure that all of our products are listed, even when it's not required.
What about marketing? There was a time that to get into this field, I'm sure you needed to be able to have an ad budget that allowed for TV commercials. That's obviously, in the internet age, not something that you need to be able to do. But at the same time, you know, it probably can't be word of mouth alone.
No, social media is really important right now, and it really suits our demographic. We have somebody in the office who we had just brought on who's terrific, and she's really helpful with Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all those things. We're just a little older. We're just catching up too, but she's amazing. And without that, it is a lot harder to get that recognition out there.
You started this company. You and Melina started this company. That's two people. How much have you grown in, I guess, 9 years?
Well, there's about 12 of us now who are pretty much full time. And my dad retired a couple years ago after 43 years of practicing law. So I'm so lucky he's down the hall and he can always give us some really wise input. So there's about 13 of us, and it's a really great team. And really every day we're grateful for the team that we've assembled.
And the stuff actually gets made here?
Most of it is made here. Most of it's made here. And we work with some amazing manufacturers. Like I said, the chemists here are unbelievable. There's really almost everything you need is right here in Milwaukee.
Where are you finding your customers?
Well, actually, most of our customers are in the East and the West Coast. We're really, really, really grateful for the local support we've had. If not for the local support we had in Milwaukee, we never would have been able to become a national brand. So Milwaukee is just so essential to us for that reason. But yeah, most of our business is on the coast.
What were you doing before you started this company?
Well, I was a divorce lawyer. So I worked a lot with kids who are going through divorce and transitions and things like that. My primary job actually was a mediator and arbitrator for families who are going through divorce. So it's just basic problem solving. It's caring for kids and families. So this is basically an extension of that. I'm just able to express a little bit more creativity in this capacity.
Right. I was going to ask what you brought from that career that informs how you do this work.
I think, and I went to Marquette here in Milwaukee too, which I have to say I was really, really happy with.
A little plug for the alma mater there.
Oh, just loved it. It was wonderful. But I think it was the attention to detail that I learned there, which is important. It's also, you know, you got to take things step by step. You can't just jump into any business and just throw things at it and expect that it's going to go well. You just really have to plan things out and be strategic about how you're going to solve problems. I think that's really important. And the other thing that, like we said, I think one of the other things that's most important about our brand is the transparency. I think if you always tell the truth in your packaging, you're never going to get into trouble. Your customers deserve to know what they're buying. And I think the legal profession really supports that as well.
So talk a little bit about the name. Why was Rebel Green the image you wanted to go with?
We really struggled with it. We really wanted to come out with something that was relevant, that was interesting. And at the time, this was in, 2008, we would walk some of the natural food store shelves and notice that some of these amazing brands just did not package, you know, they were just not packaged well. But they could be. And if they were packaged great, they would just sell so much better. So I always use the example of like Kashi and like Frosted Flakes. Frosted Flakes looks awesome. Kashi at the time, you know, now, you know, their packaging is wonderful. But at the time, it didn't have that same appeal as like Frosted Flakes. So we thought, well, why don't we kind of rebel against that conventional thinking that you have to have a natural brand look like something that you made at home? Why? There's no reason for it. Good taste isn't any more expensive. So let's make this amazing packaging to reflect the incredible ingredients that are in there, which are natural.
So am I saying it wrong? Is it Rebel Green?
It's Rebel Green.
Do you worry at all about, and maybe this is down the road, but do you worry about growing too fast?
I think that we are, of course, that would be a worry. I think we're pretty strategic in what we actually can do also. We're really pretty reasonable about not stretching ourselves too thin. So if we have any new products coming down the line, we'll make sure that we have a year or two before we introduce them, and we want to make sure that what we have is doing well.
I'm not a business owner, but it seems like, you know, having 12 people working is a nice kind of comfortable, you know everyone, you know what's going on, you have a good handle on where the business is and where it's going. It might be a little different if there were 150 people.
I think so. And I don't think we'd be happy with that either. I think we feel like a family. You know, most people who work full time spend more time working than they do, you know, at home or even awake. So it's a really nice place for us to work. And I think quality of life is really important. The quality of the lives of all of us are really important. So we always take that into consideration.
Can you give us a glimpse into the future? Are there products that are coming down the line that we should know about?
Well, they'll probably be bamboo because right now we have a line that we just launched, which actually was my dad's idea. He really was excited about this. It's a tree-free line of toilet paper, toilet tissue, and paper towels. And we're so excited about it. So it's a renewable resource. People are just starting to get into replacing paper with bamboo because it just grows. You know, you can actually hear it growing in some fields. So, and you know, a tree takes, you know, 30, 40 years to grow. So whatever we do, I think we're going to want to make sure it's sustainable.
You're not growing bamboo in Milwaukee yet, though.
No. No, but it is interesting, actually. It's one of the things, it's the only thing I think we make outside of the United States because you can't grow it here. And so we do import it from China. And because we have to do that, it's weird. We always had this made in the USA, you know, feel for our business. And it was important to us because of logistics. We don't want a lot of environmental waste on transportation. So because we import our tree-free line from China, we buy carbon credits so that we are one of the only carbon neutral household cleaning brands out there, especially with the tree-free line. So with those carbon credits, we commissioned a study with Yale University graduate students specifically for Rebel Green, and they told us, you know, what our carbon output was. So we buy these carbon credits so that we can buy clean cook stoves for people in Africa and Indonesia.
Do you think are your consumers, your customers willing to pay more knowing that the you know, for example, their cost is going into carbon credits, or you know, the products that they're buying are made in the U.S.?
I think that's a great question. One of the other things that's really important to us, in addition to you know our packaging and our transparency, is price. Because one of the only ways you're going to be able to take a conventional shopper, and there's 97% of the people out there are conventional shoppers. The only way you're going to be able to move them into buying a natural product is through price too. You don't want them to have to pay more to buy something that's better for them. So we try as hard as we can to keep our pricing as close to conventional as we can. Our tree-free toilet paper, for example, is pretty close to premium toilet paper brand that's in every grocery store. So we also almost think like it's our mission to, you know, to make natural products accessible to people, not just if you have more money to afford them, but to anybody who's grocery shopping.
Well, Ali Florsheim and Christina Nosbusch, thank you both so much and best of luck in your work.
Thank you so much for having us.
Ali Florsheim is co-founder and co-owner, and Christina Nosbusch is director of operations for the Milwaukee-based company Rebel Green. You can find a link to more about the company and their products at WUWM.com.